Support for Living on Earth comes from listeners like you. Please make a donation online at loe.org or call me at 617-629-3638. And thanks.
Well, everybody always says that my parents look like Betty Boop and Elvis. And that's because my dad always wears his hair and that kind of, you know, do. My mom has curls and big round eyes. And they met during the Korean War on the Oakland Naval Base. Mom was a secretary and my dad was a sailor. And everybody in their department thought that they ought to get together because they were so cute. They didn't know that Japanese and Chinese people hate each other. My dad said he would look at my mom and think, well, I'm not going to take out some big, loudmouth peasant Chinese. And my mom would look at my dad and think, oh, my God, I can't go out with a murdering Japanese rapist. Look what those people did in Nanking and Manchuria. But everybody in their department was, as my mom would say, American. You know, we used to tell her, hey, Mom, we're American, too. But she'd always say, you know what I mean. They were the only Orientals. And so all their American friends kept telling him to go out. So my parents said, okay, we'll just go out and we'll just say, you know, we didn't like each other. When my dad came to pick up my mom, she was there, fortified by four of her homegirls. She really called them that because my mom was raised in this orphanage, this Chinese orphanage called the Home. And all the girls who lived there called themselves the homegirls. So Mom got in the back seat with one of her homegirls on either side and two of her other homies got in the front seat and watched Daddy to make sure that he didn't try any funny business. But my dad was really smart. He took him to church and then he took him out to lunch. And then my aunties, my mom's homegirls, said, oh, he's not so bad. Too bad he's Yapun Kai, a Japanese subhuman devil. But they got married and they followed the Navy from Oakland to Seaside to finally Long Beach. It's actually in Long Beach where I grew up. Me and my five sisters and my little brother. And this area was called the West Side, close to the oil refineries. And when I was a kid, I thought the place was a fairy castle with a dragon inside. And something was always blowing up over there. And during the day, the sky was pink over the West Side. And at night, flames would flash. And I think it was a dragon. And then we grew up. We had kids of our own. And then my mom went to work at Hudson Elementary School, which is the elementary school on the West Side. And she just loved that job. She knew everything about the kids. She knew them more than their teachers. She knew them from the time they were in kindergarten till eighth grade. And so she knew their parents, their friends. She knew their allergies. And Mom's boss was what she would call a big, happy American man, which was her way of saying a big white gay guy. And his name was Joe. And under Joe, everybody got along really well until Joe got sick. And then he got sicker and then finally he had to quit. And Mama got a new boss. Well, this new boss was African-American. And she had long red fingernails with rhinestones at the tips. And Mama and Joe's girls made her this welcome cake and everything. But Mama said there was no way they could please that woman. She was always pointing those long fingernails at him and hollering. And slowly, one by one, Joe's girls quit until Mama was like the only one left. And the new boss would hire only African-American people to replace them. And these were also all her friends. Now, in L.A., that's just kind of the way it is. In a lot of places, actually, that's kind of the way it is. You know, bosses come and go, and when they do, the workers change. Suddenly, it's all Korean, or it's all Mexican, or all white. But my mama didn't understand this, so she just kept working. So things started to escalate. So now the new boss and all of the new staff would go into the break room and smoke cigarettes and drink coffee, and my mama would work the line by herself. She's like almost 70 and she's like doing all the serving and the cleaning and the cooking for 800 kids. And me and my sisters are like, Mama, you got to stop. You can't do this. You have to understand that, you know, in L.A., black people and Asians, they just don't get along. We're yellow and they're black. And, you know, it's not personal. It's just racial. But Mama goes, it doesn't have to be that way. It was really hard on her, you know, in the morning, her hands would be like claws. and she would have to put Tiger Balm on him to get him ready to go back to work. And my sisters and I, couldn't stand it. I mean, Mom was like a friggin' coolie. Mama, stop it. You know, where's your pride? The kids are watching you. And she'd be like, well, that's just the point. The children are watching. And I don't know what made my mama so stubborn. Maybe it was because of the slave thing. People don't know that slavery was legal in San Francisco until at least the 1920s. Now, I know this because that orphanage that she was raised in was an orphanage for the slave children in Chinatown. What would happen is these little Chinese children, their owners would have them do chores and things like that. And if they were playing, they just became coolie laborers. But if they were pretty, they'd go into the trade, the sex trade. And Mama was pretty, so she's really lucky she was able to grow up in the home. So I think that might be one of the reasons why she thought that, you know, she was just like the new boss and her friends. But my sisters and I, we just like, we're watching her kill herself. And I'm like, Mama, you just got to quit. You know, something's got to change. She goes, okay, I'll make a change. And the next day, Daddy went to work with her. And he would come and work the line with my mom on Mondays and Tuesdays, his days off. So they just kept doing this, these two little old people working the line. And this went on for about 6 months, almost the whole school year, until finally the door to the break room opened up and the new boss and all the rest of the cafeteria ladies came up, picked up trays and ladles and just started working the line alongside my parents, and it was over. The new boss became my mom's friend. I never did know what her name was. Mama always called her my boss. She thought it was like a sign of respect. And the first time I ever met the new boss, she was at her kitchen table crying because her husband had left her and the person she felt the closest to was my mom. And then later, my mom and dad helped the new boss when she got cancer and helped her through her chemo. Everybody gets cancer on the West Side because of the oil refinery. And then my mom got cancer and then she had to quit the cafeteria and she was really sad. And her new boss would come over and tell her about the kids and tell her what was happening. And my dad was really good. He took care of her the whole time. And then one day he said that he had had a dream that my Aunt Setz had come to him and told him that the most loving thing he could do for Mama was to let her go. So he sat there that night and he talked to her, whispering those things that only somebody who'd been married 52 years could say to each other. And there they were, Betty Boop and Elvis Presley, just whispering. And then Mama went into a coma. And Daddy was looking so sad. And so I went in to comfort him. And he's saying to my mom, I love you. And Mom had been in a coma. But suddenly she opens her eyes and goes, I love you too. And Daddy's kind of hard of hearing. He says, what? And she goes, I love you too. And that was her last words. And she passed away. And the funeral, oh, I wish you guys could have seen it. The funeral was just amazing. All the cafeteria ladies, the kids from the school, the home girls, my extended family. I guess once you're mixed blood like us, you just marry anybody. So now my nephews and nieces and cousins are like Japanese, Chinese, Spanish, Scots, Greek, Portuguese, Samoan. We have a tribal chief from Lesotho, Africa. One of my cousins is a Blackfoot medicine man. My brother-in-law is Samoan, and he's supposed to be the next chief, except he's tripping on those tattoos because they go from your navel to your knees, and he's worried about the middle part. But after the funeral, everybody came to the house, and we're all eating inside, and the kids are playing on the front porch. And we hear the kids going, Grandma's here, Grandma's here. Everybody come out, Grandma's here. And we're thinking, well, that's really weird. We just buried Grandma. And so we all ran outside and something had blown up over the Arkell oil refinery. And you know how miracles in real life, they're just kind of quiet. I mean, you could actually miss it if you weren't paying attention. But we looked up in the sky, and the littlest one, Alale, she's about 4 years old, she points up with her little finger. And sure enough, up there was like this blue thing with like white wings and like a halo. And she goes, "Look, see, that's an angel. And angels come for Grandma."